Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello again and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with the program that tells you interesting things about our world and helps you improve your American English skills at the same time. Today we have something serious and deadly to talk about, and then some fun. First, some things left over from wars are still killing people. Yes, landmines are still a big problem for much of the world. Then, we thought they were gone forever, but vinyl records are making a big comeback in South Africa. It's a fun story that is about 5 minutes away on As It Is. Let's get ready to listen and learn. The International Campaign to Ban Landmines says there are 9 new landmine victims around the world every day. A group of young people from the United States recently went overseas to investigate the problem. Bob Doty reports on their experiences in some of the most affected areas.
Melanie Saltzman is a student at Northwestern University's Medill Graduate School of Journalism in Evanston, Illinois. She recently traveled halfway around the world to Cambodia. She met there with members of a rural community who have suffered horrible injuries from landmine accidents. Cambodia has one of the largest populations of amputees, individuals who have had an arm or leg removed.
So I knew that I wanted to go there and meet people on the ground and see how survivors were affected.
Melanie Saltzman met a 17-year-old girl who had lost a leg a month earlier. She says the girl was frightened.
I wanted to tell this story because I wanted to see what survivors go through on a daily basis, long after landmines are gone or long after accidents have happened.
Ms. Saltzman was part of a team of students from the Medill Graduate School of Journalism. They studied the effects of landmines and cluster bombs around the world, and what steps the United States is taking to disarm them. The U.S. government is spending $3.2 billion on the cleanup effort. Josh Meyer led the student journalism project.
Each year we pick a topic that we think is a real substantive topic for the students to tackle, something that's going to give us a good story one way or the other that will allow them to travel internationally. And this year we picked landmines and cluster munitions.
In addition to Cambodia, students also reported from Jordan, Mozambique, Ukraine, and a still active battle area, Iraq. Matthew Schell studied mine clearance operations in Iraqi Kurdistan.
It's exhilarating. We've invested so much time researching this topic, and to be out there in the field face to face with the people who are actually doing this work was magnificent. I'm a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, and I have a personal investment in the country. And so the subject matter is something which speaks very directly to me.
Matthew Schell carried out his investigation for the Medill Graduate School of Journalism's National Security Reporting Project. The project deals with issues related to defense, security, and civil liberties. Josh Meyer was happy with all the work this year.
Getting them out there traveling to places like this, I think, is just a really cool experience for the students. And they really do learn things that you just can't learn in the classroom.
The United States is a world leader in landmine cleanup work. But the students found a lot more still needs to be done to disarm and remove these weapons. I'm Bob Doty.
You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Next, we take a trip back in time. First, there were wax cylinders, then 78 RPMs, then 45s and albums. Next came CDs. Now, much of the music we hear each day is digital and is not even stored in physical form. But as Marcia James tells us, many people in South Africa are turning back the clock to a time when vinyl records were the only thing.
Benji Moody owns Vinyl Junkie. He flips through records inside his Johannesburg store. His vinyl albums are much more expensive than CDs or MP3s, digital audio records. Prices range from a few dollars to about $35 for a copy of a classic rock album in perfect condition. Yet, Mr. Moody, a music expert and record label boss, says his sales have increased greatly in the past year. He says young South Africans are driving the vinyl explosion.
It's become hip to have records again. A lot of young people are the bulk of the people that buy vinyl now, people under 30 that were only being born when vinyl went into decline in the mid-80s.
Benji Moody says young people are discovering music their parents and even grandparents grew up with, and they want to listen to it just like their older relatives did on vinyl.
They're buying the classics. They're buying Zeppelin and the Doors and Hendrix and the Beatles and the Stones.
Benji Moody believes increased demand for vinyl is linked to young South Africans realizing that the age of pop idols manufactured by TV isn't so great after all.
Young people are looking for something different. They're tired of being force-fed by radio, contemporary radio, and by record companies, force-fed a diet of people that all sound the same.
But the main reason for the vinyl rise, he says, is that music simply sounds better and feels better on vinyl.
Vinyl to me sounds warmer and it has depth, it's got echo, it's got soul. Whereas digital is very clear, very precise, very Teutonic, but it's soulless. Vinyl is visceral, it's a visceral experience. You take it, you pick it up, it's something to look at. You can't look at an MP3.
A few years ago, Kevin Stewart started selling his vinyl collection from home to earn money. Seeing a big demand for his records, he opened the Record Mad Shop in northern Johannesburg. Inside his store, the needle on a record player begins a recording.
I get a lot of young people coming in here and saying, my dad just gave me his record player, a bunch of records and a record player, so I'm, you know, expanding on that. So I think it was definitely driven by media and by reviewers, and, you know, I think people just got really, really sick and tired of MP3s.
Do you like Modest Mouse?
I used to.
Because we've got the new one in of that.
An assistant helps a customer at Mr. Stewart's store.
I think a lot of people can still relate to records. You know, my dad had this, my mom had this. I grew up listening to Noddy on vinyl or Led Zeppelin or AC/DC or whatever it was.
Kevin Stewart says the rebirth of vinyl is resulting in a rebirth of music in South Africa.
People are connecting with music again in a way that, you know, our parents used to, our hippie fathers and our whatever, acid head mothers, you know.
Stewart does expect the hype or intense excitement about vinyl to decrease, but he adds that a real love of vinyl records has been brought to life again, and South Africans are all the better for it. I'm Marcia James.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. You are listening to VOA, the voice of America. Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Environment and Science Report. The largest chicken meat producer in the United States says it will stop giving its birds antibiotics that doctors use to treat humans. Tyson Foods made the announcement April 28th. It said it plans to complete the change by 2017. Health experts say overuse of the medicines is part of the reason more bacteria are becoming resistant to them. Farmers have fed livestock small amounts of antibiotics for many years. The drugs help the animals grow faster and prevent the spread of sickness among farm animals that live close together. But bacteria living in and on the animals develop and become immune to the drugs. In other words, the antibiotics no longer have any effect. These drug-resistant bacteria then enter the bodies of people who eat the birds or livestock. Then infections in humans become more costly and difficult to treat. Sometimes treatment does not work at all. Donnie Smith is the president of Tyson Foods. He says the company has already begun reducing its use of antibiotics.
As a result of our efforts, only a very small percentage of our chicken flocks receive human antibiotics today.
He says the company will stop giving its birds antibiotics by the end of 2017. Sasha Stashwick is a policy expert at the Natural Resources Defense Council Environmental Group. The NRDC has been calling for an end to the use of antibiotics in animals for many years. Ms. Stashwick says other companies have recently announced their decision to end the use of the medicine in the animals they produce.
We're seeing that over a third of the industry at this point either has eliminated the use of medically important antibiotics in its production or has made a public commitment to do so within the next few years.
While the use of antibiotics in birds and livestock is decreasing in the U.S. and Europe, it is expected to increase in the developing world. There is a growing demand for meat there. Livestock producers in those countries are using methods that require antibiotics to keep animals healthy. Ramanan Lakshminarayan is the director of the Center for Disease Dynamics, Economics, and Policy. He says Tyson's announcement shows food producers can continue to operate without using the drugs. Mr. Lakshminarayan says if producers provide cleaner living conditions and better nutrition for their animals, they will not need to give them antibiotics. But he says the buying public must pressure farmers to stop using the drugs. And that's the VOA Learning English Environment and Science Report. For more agriculture, environment, and science stories, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Marcia James.